Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening this week up in the stars. And happy equinox. Happy autumn equinox if you're in the northern hemisphere. And happy spring equinox if you are in the underworld. Not the underworld. If you are in the southern hemisphere, that's the better way to put it, let's say. So all the way around, we come to a shifting in the seasons and a change in the energy that's available to us. It was funny yesterday, I looked at my husband and it was pouring rain. And I said, today's the last day of summer. And he laughed. He said, really? I thought we left summer 2 weeks ago. And it was true right here, you know, where I live anyway. The turning of the seasons, you know, heralds its presence a couple of weeks before, in that we see a notable shift in the heat and more rain, more clouds, etc. And I understand that about two-thirds of our country this week are experiencing warmer than normal temperatures. So I'm sure happy equinox to you doesn't really feel like it. It does feel like it's probably still summer for some of you who are in that part of the country. So let's say good morning to people who are popping in right now. Good morning, Debbie and Mimi and Linda and Colleen. And it's great to see you ladies here. You're always my early people, my early birds who catch the worm that get to hear me stumble over getting ready for the week. It's too funny because this morning, well, actually Saturday, maybe it was yesterday, who knows? Yesterday, I think it was, I sat down and I went through all of the days of this week and I posted on Facebook all of the wordage that I would give you in the morning to tell you that the show is coming on and what we might be covering. And then I realized this morning that once I've done that, that I don't have the words anymore. So now I have to go looking for the words. I don't know if that was a system that made things easier for me or more annoying for me, because now I've got to go looking for the information that I really want. So it's kind of funny. But here we are this morning in the first day of the equinox, and also 0 degrees Libra. That's literally what that means. The equinox comes to a point in time where the sun has crossed into 0 Libra, and we begin the time of the year to bring things into balance and harmony, which is what the Libran scales remind us of. In ancient times, the 0 degrees Libra, or the sign of Libra, came about because of ancient beliefs around the goddess Maat. This would have been in Egyptian astrology or Egyptian cosmology, where as we pass through the gates of from living to dying, that we had to have our hearts weighed against the feather on the scales of justice and fairness and balance and harmony, to see it's really looking for equilibrium. Did we leave our life with a clear heart, and did we leave out of balance? If we've left out of balance, then we are put into the conveyor belt to be put back into this planet, right? Injected back into a lifetime to complete our journeys into balance and harmony. So Libra really represents balance, harmony, equilibrium, and obviously then in the scales of justice or the scales of balance, when they're off, it shows us where it is that we have work to do to bring things back into balance and harmony. Now, the reason this is why the sign Libra is also considered the ruler of relationships is because our relationships hold the mirror of how well we're doing in the balancing of our karma, if you will. And that is what the purpose of relationships are. I mean, we think that when we're having problems with people in our lives, that it's their fault. But really, they're mirroring something to us where we ourselves are out of balance. And it can mean many different things to many different people. It's not so much that that there's people out there hurting you or harming you or causing you distress. It's that it's coming from within you. You project it outward, out to the outer world, where other people pick that up and mirror it to you. So here's a time of year where mirroring is so very important. And mirroring. So what are you seeing when you look in the mirror, right? If you were the goddess Mott right now and you had to weigh your relationships and where you are in your life, where would you be, right? That's what we're looking at. It doesn't matter the content of your life. It matters what it is that you feel in your heart. Have you come into balance? So it's an interesting time of year. In human design, we call this the turning of the seasons, bring us into the gates of love. And in fact, people born often around the equinoxes are born on what we call the angle of the vessel of love, where they embody the energies of the gates of love in your human design. And I'll show you in a bit where that might be when we talk about the human design week. And so it's all about the love. What are we in the next iteration of loving energy, applying love energy on the planet? And I'll give you a hint. It's physical love and it's spiritual love. And in that, then bringing the two together. We've been talking about this, right? It's not like this is the first time we're hearing that the energy resonant in the, at least the love energy on the planet, is about our embracing both the spiritual and the physical forms of love, right? Recognizing that we are more than what we thought we were, or more than we've given ourselves credit for. I mean, I think we all have this idea that God is somewhere out there, or maybe even you've thought of God as being somewhere in inner space, but have you ever really considered that you are the embodiment of God energy in the physical expression of God energy? It's really kind of interesting if you think about it. And if that's the case, then it's time for us to begin acting like that, because I'm so tired of all the crap out there people throw at each other, and it's terrible, right? So let's remember that in the heat of battle, when it all goes away, it's all about love and how we have been loving toward one another and toward ourselves. So let's see who else is joining us this morning. Suzanne Fulmer, good morning. And Catherine Worcester, good morning. And she's a newbie. Welcome. And let's see, Colleen says, yes, New Jersey is hot, but the true equal light and dark isn't until later in the week, at least where I live, and it will be cooler then. Let's hope so. Linda, ultrasound yesterday found several kidney stones. Don't know what is next. Just want pain gone. I ordered tea. Oh, awesome, Linda. I'm glad you did. And I think it says on the box when you get it, 2 cups a day or something like that will help keep your kidneys cleansed. And I don't know how that affects stones or in any of that. So you may check with your doctor and make sure that those things are okay to be doing. Today is 10 minutes longer here, longer than the 12 or 12 hours, I'm guessing is what you mean. Mimi says, been there, done that, no fun. I hope they pass quickly. Yes, me too, sweetie. Debbie Tibbetts, Tumio, good morning to you. Happy fall equinox. If you have time, would you please draw a card for me? I have time, definitely will do that. Good morning, Jennifer Chup and Kristen Page. Jennifer, are you new with us? If so, a nice welcome to you as well. So let's take a look at what we have going on today, and then we'll take a look out over the week and what can we expect. So today the moon is in Cancer, loving, protective, mothering energy, stable, seeking stability and security energy. And then the moon turns void, of course, at 3:06 p.m. this afternoon, my time. So 6:06 p.m. for you all on the East Coast until 2:20 tomorrow morning. So by far and away, this particular void isn't really going to affect us too much in what we do during the week, or excuse me, what we do during the day, our businesses, our work atmosphere, things like that. It's not changed too badly. When you wake up tomorrow morning, the moon will be in Leo. Yay, much more playful, creative, and passionate energy, where the passion is put toward expressions of love through play and having a great time. I love it when the moon is in Leo. Today, the moon in Cancer, though, as you remember, anytime we get the moon moving through Cancer, Aries, Libra, or Capricorn, we are affecting that conglomerate of Saturn, Pluto, South Node energy in Capricorn. And when we have the moon in Cancer, it's in opposition to Capricorn energy. So today we have the moon in opposition later in the day, opposition to Pluto, which means there's probably some very deep emotional energy running through the systems today. And that could be really good. It is in empowering you to express yourself emotionally in a very positive way. And or it could also create a moment, a time where we feel disempowered or where we feel low emotionally. And you just have to know that the moon moves fast. So this is maybe a couple hours at most. And after that, we have a sextile to Mars. So when I look at that, I say, if I start feeling that, I'm going to go do the dishes. I'm going to go do some laundry. I'm going to go outside and walk if it's still light. I'm going to go do something active. If I'm going to activate my physical body, then I don't have time to be on the pity potty, right? Physical body action gets you off that pity potty, and that's what we might be facing later in the day today. In the part of the day that's the working day, we have a square to Mercury and a trine to Neptune. And God, I'm feeling that freaking square to Mercury this morning as my mind and mouth don't want to quite sync up. Of course, maybe it's just from the weekend, or maybe it's who knows, this square perhaps, where it's challenging to get what you want to say out of your mouth in a way that's understandable. So today, if you have trouble with that, be kind to yourself, right? Just move through it. Just go, okay, that's this moon in a square to Mercury. Our emotional feelings may override our minds, or our minds may override our feelings. And either way, when you look at that, there it's sort of what do they call it? Interference waves with one another. So they're interfering with one another. As the day wears on and we have the trine to Neptune, we may find ourselves very in tune emotionally, physically, the body's instinctually being engaged with the moon. Our emotions and everything line up differently later in the day than they do earlier in the day. Also, with Neptune, we may have the opportunity where we see something or we intuit something. We have no way of understanding why it is that we know this. And just have to learn to trust your intuition. I want to just remind you guys that Neptune is still in retrograde. When Neptune is in retrograde, our intuition is very powerful. It's very spot on. If you find yourself paying attention to your intuition during this period of time, you find yourself in the right place with the right opportunity, the right people, in the right timing. Where, when you don't listen, you end up getting blasted for it. So, not only that, but by November, end of November, when Neptune again turns to forward motion, anything that you weren't listening to is going to come home to roost, as in, you may regret that you weren't listening to your intuition about taking on that opportunity or letting that opportunity go. Or if you're following what I'm meaning, listen to your inner voice. But remember, if you are in a human design situation where your emotions are your authority, you still have to wait to make big decisions until you have clarity in your emotional field. And that if anybody has questions about that, let me know what they that they have that. Let's see who else is saying anything out here. Diana Balgard, good morning. It's good to see you today. And Lisa Pedro, good morning. Asa, good morning. Happy birthday to you, Jennifer Chup, and also to my friend Anne Yuxel. It's her birthday today. My brother-in-law's birthday is today. Happy birthday to all of you, Zero Librans. It's pretty awesome to see. Okay, and let's go on here and look a little bit deeper at the autumn equinox. Oh, darn it, I had that chart printed yesterday. Did I keep it? I might have kept it. Nope. I like to print a chart up of the equinoxes and the solstices because it shows you kind of what the energies are building toward for the season ahead. It's like your birthday, right? We take your chart, we set it for the moment that the sun returns to the spot it was in when you were born, which, by the way, may wiggle some. It can be a day early, it could be a day late, it could be right around the same time. It's different every year. Because we monkey with our calendar where the sun doesn't, it just goes at the same rate around the solar system. So when we set a chart in a solar return, what we're doing is we're snapshotting what it looks like at that moment. and it sets up the themes that might be recurring throughout the upcoming year. So for you three whose birthdays I mentioned today, it is your new year, right? So the end, it's like, this is the best time for you, Jennifer, and anybody else whose birthday is today, to set intentions or to set your New Year's resolutions, right? January 1st is seriously just an arbitrary day. It really has no meaning as far as resolutions are concerned for anybody except the people born right then. So for you, this is your time, right? This is your time to set those resolutions and to look ahead at what's coming for the year. Well, we can do the same thing seasonally, right? If we set a chart for the moment that the sun comes back to zero of any of the signs that are involved in the seasons, and that's Capricorn, and that's Aries, and that's Cancer, and that's Libra, then we can see sort of the themes that are building for that next 3 months, the seasons of the year. So as we look at the autumn equinox chart, the one thing that just jumped out at me actually is still in effect today. Here, hold on. I'm going to draw it for you so you can see it in the chart better. I'm not sure that I'm doing this any better, but we'll see here. Sometimes there's so many lines on a chart that I draw. So look at this. What do we see? A T-square, right? The T-square. And so this is today's chart, but seriously, the equinox happened at about 50 minutes after the hour, after midnight this morning. So, we're still in that same window. And what we see is the point is that Mercury and Venus, particularly Mercury, with the moon conjunct the North Node, and of course the North Node always opposing the South Node, and Saturn nearly in a conjunction with the South Node. So when we, and a T-square is a very highly activated kind of configuration, where the empty spot, which over here would be, let's see, this is at 15 Libra, so we have to look to 15 Aries to find the balance point to make this a stable configuration. So we have a bit of instability, but we are also being driven towards something. And that the T-square, people who have T-squares in their natal charts are often very accomplished people, because the T-square creates so much resistance and irritation to them. They're always moving towards something to sort of release themselves from the pressure of the T-square. And a lot of you might have T-squares in your chart, and they may be activated right now with these three pieces sitting at the midpoints of their relative signs. So we are coming to the point, the midpoint of a sign. So Mercury is at the midpoint of its transit through Libra, and that means our minds and our communication coming into balance or harmony in some way. But literally, it looks to me like we're having trouble with this. We're having trouble smoothing the way. We're having trouble smoothing the way in articulating and living, aligning our minds with what it is we are here to achieve through our destinies. And you can, that creates the stress. It creates that kind of, I like to call it scritchy feeling, where we just got this irritation that's pushing us in to do something. And with the moon sitting at the other end, it's sort of on a time schedule. It's like, now is the time. You know, we don't have a whole lot more time in order to play around with trying to embody ourselves as true spirits, to live our truth, to live out our destinies. We have to do it now. And literally, the South Node is at 14 degrees, 25 minutes. It's closing in on 15 degrees really quickly, or it's actually past 15 degrees, so it's already been triggered. The Saturn is back up to 14 degrees. It's moving ahead now. Last week it turned direct, so it's moving through this much faster. It's almost like the if we consider that Mars at some point lit the fire, and it did when there was the conjunction on September 3rd of Mars and Mercury and the Sun, lit the fuse. And now the engine is rolling, right? The engine's moving. So we have energy building, and that energy needs to find a release, a place to put it. So what are you building in your lives, right? Is it a relationship? Is it a job or a career? Is it a project? Whatever it is, this is the time to take and make the move. You have a split second time here to reevaluate, to maybe look at the next steps. and then take those steps, right? We are now in the window of the new moon, or we're closing in on the new moon. So we're getting everything, all of our ducks are lining up again for us to move forward in some way. And that kind of energy sort of seals the deal for the next 3 months as we are moving through, connecting more and more fully with our destiny, bringing ourselves more and more into balance, using our relationships as a way to see ourselves more clearly. And even the outer world is a great mirror for all of you in terms of what is it that you can do to support the outer world, right? What is it that you personally, what's your role in supporting the outer world, or supporting the world at large, you could say, or your community or your tribe or your family? What is it that you're here with the specific skills to do? And do it. No more pussyfooting around, just go do these things according to you and according to spirit and according to your intuition. I hope all that's making sense to everybody. Good morning, Natasha. Good morning, Kathy Miller. Good morning, Ashley. Kathy Miller says, is it really fall? I think I am a fall person rather than a spring person. I do. I love the fall myself. Ashley says, good morning, everyone. I started school till 1 o'clock every day. Yay. So I'm definitely missing being on while you're live. I will always watch the replay and tune in on the days that I'm not in the class. You'll have to tell us what classes you're taking, Ashley. I'm really excited for you. And let's see, Chanel, good morning to you. And there was someone else, waves to Helen McCagg. Okay, so maybe Mimi, one of your friends, has joined in with us. And I don't see her yet, but that's awesome. Welcome to her as well. Let's take a look at the week ahead now. Since it's Monday, we might as well see what we're up against this week. And it's actually not a very bad week at all. We have some key things happening with building up toward the new moon, which occurs on Saturday. And that will be something we'll talk about as we get closer to that. But on the week ahead, tomorrow, we have a Mercury sextile Jupiter. Our minds finally maybe are getting on the bus and getting in alignment with our vision. And then the next day, Venus square Saturn. You know, anytime we have a planet in a configuration with Saturn, we almost want to cringe inside, right? Because it's like, ugh, something's going to happen, or, you know, karma's coming home to roost, or something's going to, you know, blow up on me. But when Venus gets into a square with Saturn, we really have an opportunity to strengthen our relationships or strengthen our financial picture. It's always a good thing. It may expose where the weaknesses are in your relationships or in your money, but ultimately it leads you to be able to make a course correction. So while things may happen that aren't necessarily fun and positive and all grins, it sets you up for being more stable. So Venus literally can also, you know, in a relationship that's had problems or on rocky territory, can start to smooth things out. So don't be afraid of Venus squaring Saturn. I would be a little more worried about Thursday's Mercury square Pluto, in that we have, you know, we have this very power. This is very powerful energy for stating your case, for living your truth, for aligning your mind in a way that's very empowering. Although it's like anything else, as you're walking along that path, you may stumble over a root or a rock or a hole and end up falling in it. Today, or this is on Thursday. I think this may be on Thursday, a day where we can find something to let go of, right? To release ourselves from, in our minds especially, because we may be trying to promote a message. We may be trying to say things that are not authentic to us or are not true for us. So whatever it is, Thursday may be that day where we can sort of just go, okay, I'm throwing in the towel. I'm now empowering myself to move in a different direction because I'm tired of beating my head up against that wall. The next day, Saturday, with the new moon, things are new again. We have the opportunity to start something new. And then Venus is in a sextile to Jupiter on Saturday as well. That is great for a new beginning, right? We have the love energy with us. We have the financial energy with us. We have the relationship energy with us to grow, evolve, and be optimistic about what's coming next. So I find this new moon is really a pretty one. If I had to choose a word, I would say this one's pretty. It's a beautiful moon coming up this weekend. So if you are going through any issues or problems right now, it's okay, because We have the new moon coming. And if you are finding yourself having to let go of something, feel good about it, right? Because if it's not true and authentic for you, you're going to have trouble with it anyway. So you might as well let it go now and be ready for what comes next. And what comes next is in Libra, which means it has technically the ability to bring your life back into some form of equilibrium or balance. After all, that's what we want, right? Balance. All right. Any questions about any of that with anybody? Good morning, Latricia. Ashley says she's taking a 10-month course to become a licensed massage therapist. It also includes level one polarity. I'm so excited. Well, I'm really excited for you, Ashley. That's awesome. And Lynn has joined us this morning. Good morning to you as well. Okay, so now let's take a look at the Human Design Week. Yesterday, we entered, finally got out of turbulence and impact and moved into, of course, in preparation for the season or the shift of seasons to the gates of love. The sun is now at the gate 46, the love of the physical being. So we are being activated physically right now and being in your body, right? Being in your body. But the earth is at gate 25, which is the love of spirit. It is a highly esoteric spiritual gate. It is God embodied, while the physical body is housing the spirit. So we have these two gates of love. You are a physical being. You are, excuse me, a spiritual being housed in a physical being, merged together to be able to explore and experience everything on this planet. And remember, your relationships are those mirrors for you about what it is that you're experiencing, how well you're doing on your path, right? If you're not doing so well, then your relationships are probably looking a little weird, or you may be having some issues. And if your relationships are showing you smoothness, then you've worked through some energies. Now, that doesn't mean they can't get out of balance later as well, but always using your relationships. What are you seeing? And I'm not just talking like your relationships with people. But what's the relationship to you and your environment? What's the relationship between you and your work? What's the relationship between you and your money, your health, and on, right? So relationships aren't just with people, although those are the ones we usually think of, but all of your relationships are mirroring things to you in some way, shape, or form. So if you are feeling bad about your work circumstances or your career choices and not happy about that, look at that relationship and what is it showing you about you? As well as you could use your spouse, your relationship with your kids or friends or coworkers, and also use those as mirrors. So, mirror, mirror on the wall, right? Who's the fairest of them all? And using that mirror helps you align spirit and matter, spirit and your physical being. Now, if we look at these two through the gene keys, which is the more multidimensional way of looking at these energies, in the love of the physical, we see that this in its lowest shadow energy is seriousness. We are not designed to be serious. We are meant to be in delight. That is the gift, delight. And in its highest expression, the love of the physical is ecstasy. And ecstatic states connect us more fully to our spiritual being within. So we have ecstasy, we have delight. These are the two things we are trying to achieve, and letting go of seriousness, right? We're supposed to be having fun. Thankfully, the moon moving into Leo tomorrow helps us do that, finding more fun and delight in our world. Now, the Earth at gate 25, the love of spirit, has a really interesting dimensional look to it. It starts in the shadow of constriction, where we feel tight. And I was thinking about this morning because it didn't fit, right? It to me there was something that didn't fit about this being the love of spirit, and then the lowest expression being constriction. The gift is acceptance, and the highest expression is universal love. And I felt like, well, imagine the freedom that we must have as just pure spirit, right? Pure spirit to be anything, do anything, go anywhere, let go of anything, move forward freely and come and go and, just like the wind, right? And then you put that spirit into a physical being, a physical body on a dense planet like Earth. No wonder we feel constricted, right? We're constantly in a state of trying to maybe on an unconscious level, be like spirit can be, which is completely free to explore and do and be. And then we have these stupid things that happen to us, like I can't just like leave my family and run and do whatever I want. I can't, I don't have the money to just travel the world and do whatever I want, or buy whatever I want, or have the body. Maybe some people were born with some physical challenges in their body and they can't just like leave and go do what they want. So we end up in the gift of acceptance, accepting that while on this dense earthly plane, that we are limited in some way to what it is that we can do physically, or at least limited by the amount of time it takes to do something, if that makes sense, right? Think about, try your spirit, your air, your ether, and you're in this physical body, but the physical body moving through the denseness on this planet, taking more time and more effort. And we don't, sometimes it's a great thing, right? That we don't immediately get what we want because our minds are always thinking and our emotions, we don't even have any kind of control on our emotional bodies yet. And so, we may emotionally react to something, and if that immediately manifested, we'd be in trouble all the time on this planet if that happened. So, what we get here with the love of the physical and the love of the spirit is recognizing both, and that neither one has full sway over what things happen here, right? If you are spirit and you know that this is where you need to be and where you want to go, you actually have to set the body's compass to go there. Right? You have to be able to take the steps to move the physical body toward what the spirit is, innately knowing where you're meant to be. So not being afraid of time and of the time it takes to get things that you really desire. So when, we, and I've fallen prey to this too, is getting irritated because what I want doesn't manifest. Well, there's always time, and spirit is wiser than the physical, right? So it is, and it is spirit that animates the physical body here, and it puts you in the way of the right things for you in the right time, with the right people, with the right circumstances, on spirit time, not your time. I hope that's making sense to people, right? Because we really think about ourselves as having free will and all of that, and we do. Right? Free will says that in any moment I can choose how I'm going to react, if I'm going to accept the situation as it is in the moment and be okay with what things are, and wait for spirit to manifest me the next step. And if we are in acceptance, then what we also find at the end of this road is the energy of universal love. And this is that bigger love energy that we talk about. It's one that's almost not knowable to us. Universal love. What does that mean? What does that embody? And this is what we are stretching to, right? That's why this is the city. The city is the highest expression of the energy in this gate, the highest expression of the potential in this gate. Do we have any people yet on the planet that have reached that level? I don't know for certain, but I know that it requires our accepting our circumstances in every single moment, and doing what comes next based on our pathway and our journey. So luckily we have these two gates. These are two gates of love that are active always at the autumn or spring equinox, depending on if you're in the northern or southern hemisphere. Now, Mercury and Venus, remember we talked about last week, they are moving through the fear gates in your human design, or the gates that double as fear gates in your human design. And they are setting the stage for the sun to enter here next week. And we begin then the month of October into the first week of November, where we're really identifying where it is that we're holding ourselves back through fear. Where have we become paralyzed by fear? So Mercury, as the faster moving planet, has moved already through the gate of perfection, where we were being critical and judgmental of ourselves or perhaps of others. So we had to learn about what is it our minds are focused on, and what is it that we're saying, right? Listening to the voice as well as listening to what's going on within. And then it moved off to the gate 48, which over the weekend we were dealing with inadequacy, the fear. If we're going to deal with a fear, it's going to be about, I don't know enough. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough letters after my last name. I need to read one more book, take one more step, and then the moment will be perfect for me to express myself, the truth of who I am. Bottomless pit, that one. We never seem to have enough knowledge, enough skill, or enough certifications to get ourselves where we want to go. So what we see in this gate is that we have a deep well within us. Deep within you is the skill, the knowledge to do anything that you need to do. All you need to do is call it up and then act upon it. And it's always there for you. The moment you take one step forward, spirit is going to match you for that. And match you. I heard a percentage. If you took 15% of the effort, then the universe throws in 85%. I don't know who comes up with that stuff or where that comes from, but I'm sure it's coming from some form of ancient wisdom. Basically, it says if you take a step, then the universe is there to catch you, right? You're not going to fall completely down the well and into the hole. And it may not happen the way you think it should happen, but it will certainly happen in a way that's correct for you, trusting that. Now, today, Mercury has moved off to gate 57, also on the spleen. Let me take, dang it, I know I printed this chart this morning. And the gate 57 is the gate of the psychic. I mean, it's literally the most intuitive gate of all of the human design. And, oh, what on earth did I do with that? I don't know. I was in all kinds of stuff this morning. Here, maybe I'll just show you another one. This was from Friday. So this doesn't look, right now we're back to looking like a reflector. But here's the spleen, right? So the gate 48 that we were dealing with on Friday and Saturday and Sunday was all right here. And the gate 57 is right next door, right? And the gate 57 has a pathway directly to the throat. And it also has a pathway directly to the sacral. So we can take action and we can start to manifest and communicate this fear if we're not really careful, right? Because it does have that outlet to those centers. And it's the fear of the future. So we're afraid that what might happen, right? It's the, I'm looking down the line and I see something and I'm afraid that that's going to happen. And literally, then what do? We begin to magnetize that energy toward us, or we begin to take action based on the fear of that future that isn't even here yet. The spleen is a center of the now. It lives in the moment. And in the moment, all of those things that you fear might happen down the line have not happened. And it's yet to be seen as to whether they will happen or not. So the paralysis point here is that we may stop ourselves because we are afraid of what may come, right? Hello again, it's me. I have a feeling something happened in the feed. Maybe my exuberance in chatting with you all caused me to hit a button. I'm not sure what happened, but unfortunately, or fortunately, I disconnected us, and luckily you all have found me once more. so sorry about that. So in the, what I was talking about was that we are having to be very careful about our fears about the future at this point in time. Mercury sitting there at that gate. And Mercury, always the harbinger of what's to come, right? Of where we are going next, of where the sun is going next. Remember, he's Hermes. He's the messenger. He brings us the message ahead of time so we could be prepared when the full light of the sun comes to roost in those same places. So we have an opportunity now to look ahead at what it is that we are afraid of. What are you really afraid of? Venus is still sitting at the gate 48. So we are still grappling a bit with values, that valuing ourselves enough to take those steps forward so that we are not sitting in the fear of being inadequate or of not knowing enough, not being enough. So both of those planets are still sort of acting as harbingers of what is to come over between now and November 5th. So any questions about the spleen or about the fear gates? One by one, we're experiencing them. And guess who comes after the sun through these energies in tandem is going to be Mars. So we want to be aware now of what these energies might cause you to do, because Mars is the action principle. And if Mars comes through those fear gates and you literally take action based on that fear, you may find yourselves in a position of missing out on something really fun and exciting for yourself. So we want to not get that happening to ourselves. I see most of you were able to join us back here. Good morning, Debbie. She says, off to get my grandson. Have a great day. Wonderful. Thanks, Debbie, for joining us. And it looks like almost everybody found me again. I like that. I'm so sorry. I don't know if I did it or if there was an interruption in the flow. I don't know. Just as I'm saying that, one of the things I was doing yesterday is looking at October, because this week, for those of you who are members of the Living Astrology Academy, we'll be doing the October webinar, What's Up in the Stars. And one of the things that we're preparing for is Mercury's next retrograde in Scorpio. So he enters that shadow in the second week of October. Be prepared. It's another one on the way. So not yet, though. Not yet. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to be in fear of it. It's just there, and it is going to be what it is going to be. So now let's take a look at the Pleiadian Earth energy, and then we'll do announcements for today. What are we doing time-wise? 20 minutes till. So today we remember 13 yesterday. Yesterday was the last day of the Pleiadian Earth week. So we were in the power of ascension, completion leading to ascension. So if we're looking at a spiral, we were on the rung at the end of that spiral, ready to go back up. And today's the first day of that next week. This is initiating energy. This is the energy of the new, and it is the universal energy. And that means no matter where we would be in this universe, we are resonating with the energy of initiation, of starting something, of creating a new beginning, of creating a new way of being. And it's paired today with the earth energy of remembering, which is Manik, hand or deer in the Mayan calendar. But remembering energy is peace seeking. It is cooperation. It is a very Libran way to start the week. It is very much about equilibrium and finding balance. And it is indeed the energy of taking ourselves into the depths and seeing where do we go next, right? What do we want to do next? That is what we're looking at today. So it's a very powerful initiation into the energy of the next level. So every week, every 13 days, we go through this level of initiation and we move ourselves on up. Okay. Questions, comments, Asa. If my conscious sun is at gate 57 and Mercury is there now, what should I look for? Well, literally, you are already resonating with this energy, Asa, because the sun is already at gate 57 for you. So the sun already sees you, gives you that energy and that ability to be in tune, to see the future, if you will, or to be so intuitive that you take actions. When you listen to your body's wisdom, you always find yourself in the right place at the right time and the right with the right opportunities and the right people. For instance, I learned a long time ago, my husband must be born right around you because he's got his son at gate 57. And when he has an intuition, I just have given up arguing with it. Because when I do, it turns out that we should have listened to him. So I go, okay, well, his wisdom is that of this, right? He's already in tune. You are already in tune. Now, what you are adding to it is the planet Mercury, which just means that maybe your mind hasn't caught up with what you're knowing or your intuition knows to be true. So try to keep your mind out of monkeying with what your body or your inner self already knows to be true. I hope that makes sense for you. So I would look for your mind to maybe be yappy, yappy, yappy while your body said already, your body said to do this, go there, be with that, take up that opportunity, don't do that one, don't do this with that person. And yet your mind is going, yeah, but what about? So don't listen to the mind so much. The mind may carry the fear of what happens down the road, where the body's going, nope, I'm clear. This is fine. And it may look like it's not going to work. It may feel like it's not going to work, but ultimately, I'm telling you, it's going to work. I hope that makes sense for you, right? The addition of Mercury there just makes it maybe more mind chatter for you trying to talk you out of things or into things, even that your body's very clear it's not wanting. Okay. You're welcome. Okay, very good. So, couple of announcements. Oh, wait, Debbie wanted me to do a card. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel wanted me to do a card reading for her. Debbie, don't know what's going on, but let's see what it is that the cards may say for you this morning. And so I'm going to draw two cards. The first card I'm going to draw is for Debbie, and the second card is going to be the one for all of us, wisdom for the week. All right. So here we go for Debbie. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. Ooh, Debbie. Oh, nice. Debbie, you get card 27, exchanging gifts, right side up. Isn't that cat adorable? We see this beautiful ballerina popping up out of a box, exchanging gifts, a gift box. Okay, so that's for Debbie. Debbie, let's read that one and then I'll pull the card for the rest of us. Because maybe it would just be that for all of us too. You never know. And it came out right side up, Deb. So the essential meaning of the card is the law of giving and receiving, currency, trade-offs, weighing costs, and determining value. The Oracle's message says you're entering into a productive and enriching time when all manner of opportunities are being offered to you. You have everything you need to seize them, yet in order to honor them, you must put in the time, exchange your experience and skills, and commit heart and soul to what you're choosing to pursue. You can do it. You have what it takes to be successful if you align with the law of giving and receiving. You must engage in a dance of give and take, push and pull, doing and being. If you let fear guide your choices, you could deplete yourself or create an imbalance. This is not a time of just do. Use your currency wisely and be mindful of the value others bring to your life. Very important for you as a projector, my projector friend out there. All right, so that was for Debbie. And Debbie, I hope that makes sense. I hope that helps you on whatever it is that's coming up for you. And Catherine, okay, I can do that. Let me pull the animal cards out here. She's our newest person asking for an animal card. You're most welcome, Catherine. This is for all of us right now. We're looking at a card that's going to take us through the week, something that we should be mindful of. The question is why? Right? The card is why? Why? Card 31, which is a four. And I don't think we've ever gotten this card. I am pretty sure we've never gotten this card. It doesn't look familiar at all. There's a book with wings. And a fairy that is got a question mark. Why? Let's see what that says. I don't even think I've drawn this card for myself in a reading. 31. Okay. And it was right side up. Why's essential meaning says motives driving intention, the power of knowing the why. There is great power in understanding your motives right now. The Oracle asks you to be very clear about why you're asking this question, looking for this answer, behaving in this way, and most important, making this choice. Knowing your why is the key to fulfillment. When you are clear about it, your intention will then be a magnet for miracles. Motives define the nature of your experience. When you think about something, feel it, and then act on it. This invisible why is the life force energy within the seed, which brings it to life and holds the potential for growth. Wow. So maybe that is something for us to think about as we move toward the full or the new moon from on Saturday. So why? What are your motives? Okay, and last card I'm going to do here before I give some announcements for the week here. This is for Catherine, our new Catherine Worcester. Worcester, not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but let's hope I am. And this is an animal totem for you, likely for the week. It may be one that you, ooh, we have for you, Stag Spirit. Take the lead, which is card 58, which is a 13, which is a four. So we have another four. Stag Spirit says, take the lead. Isn't that a beautiful card? The stag. All right, so let's see card 58, what that means for us, for you, I mean. And it was upright. So the Oracle's message says, whether or not you have set your intention to lead, you may have found yourself suddenly called to step up to the forefront of your life. Stag spirit is a reminder that now is the time to heed the call to be sure, strong, and compassionate. Others will look to you, and you have it within you to see through the eyes of stag spirit and walk with confidence as you take on the responsibilities that are yours now and model integrity in all that you do and in all your relationships. Be willing to see the best in others so that your compassionate heart keeps you on the right path. Stag spirit wants you to know that your responsibilities now are to yourself too, for you are learning and developing new skills. The best in you is coming into view as you step forward with strength, knowing that spirit supports you as you compassionately take the lead. You are a model for transformation now, sharing your experience, strength, and hope with others so they may grow and discover their best selves too. What a gift you are. Stay humble and authentic and walk your talk, for this is how a wise leader leads. So Catherine, powerful card. I hope that has meaning for you. And Debbie says, thank you. You're most welcome. And Catherine says, wow. Alisa, good morning to you. Okay, so that's it for cards. Now, a couple of announcements. For one thing, if for those of you who had already gotten the Energy Almanac for 2019. You know that I've already written the 2020, and guess what? It's available for pre-order now. Today, look for me to be posting that up on the Living Astrology Facebook page with the instructions on how to order it and the gifts that you get for being a newbie or being a first, I forgot the word that Tam used, but being the first to act. You have several gifts that are yours if you are one of the first to act. So look for that information today. The Energy Almanac for 2020 is packed with wisdom from astrology, from numerology, from essential oils and yoga moves and nutritional advice. It's more than just, it's like a farmer's almanac for the metaphysical world. So that is out now or ready for you to take order. I will post that up for you later on. As well, this week on Wednesday, our Wednesday, at 5 p.m. Pacific time, so that will be 8 p.m. for you all on the East Coast, it'll be me and Annette McCoy on Angel Heart Radio, talking about the conjunction of Neptune and the Black Moon Lilith and what does that reveal to us? Because there are secrets exposed. You guys are seeing them already, right? These conversations here in the U.S. anyway, conversations about that are totally inappropriate being exposed, the underbelly of things being exposed, and more of the scandal of things being exposed to us on the surface as Neptune and Black Moon Lilith come together. But in that, there is also the path of redemption. So we want to talk more fully about the conjunction of those two. One, a mathematical point, not really a physical body, and the other one, an actual physical planet, and what it means for each of you individually. So that will be on Angel Heart Radio on Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. East Coast time. And on that show, I do mini readings. And please, if you would like to have a mini reading, don't be shy. Call in to the show and ask. All I need is your birth information, and then I can do the chart for you and see where the secrets are being exposed, where redemption lies for you in your chart at the moment. So there's that. And then Thursday, for those of you who are members of Living Astrology Academy, we have the upcoming October webinar, What to Expect in the Month of October from the Planets and Human Design, Gene Keys, however, whatever else comes up during that class, it is your time to be in the know and pre-plan, ready for what comes next. If you are not a member of Living Astrology Academy, you can certainly join this week before Thursday and still take part in that webinar. I always leave that open. I just manually go in and send you the link for the webinar. I think that's it for me this week, or for announcements for this week. And that is it for me today. Let me know if you have any questions. You can go to my website, www.living-astrology.com. Up at the very top is the link where you can contact me. In the meantime, take care. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.